power of love, the relationship of love. I mean, that's why we are here. Whatever our background, whatever religion, whatever culture, whatever community we come from, what draws us here is love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be Sufis. We wouldn't be attracted to this whole mystery of love. Sufis are known as the doorkeepers of love. They actually hold open the gates of love. We are the doorkeepers of love, and traditionally we are also the people of the secret. This has to do with the secret relationship of lover and beloved that is at the core of the Sufi path. He loves them and they love him. The whole secret dimension of love. I talked about being taken into the arena of love. Love whispered a secret in my ear. Now my mind is a fugitive, and my heart nowhere to be found in this ocean of pain. My secret will be a secret, the friend said. Your bloodshot shirt no one will see when the heart bleeds. No one will wake with your moan late at night. The smoke from your heart burning in this fire no one will detect. This has to do with the inner mystery of love, this extraordinary relationship of lover and beloved that takes place within the heart of those who are called to the path of love. It is to be drawn down this thread of love into this painful, ecstatic relationship of love that has no limit, that has no bounds, and yet at the same time follows this almost prescribed pattern of closeness and separation, closeness and separation that goes deeper and deeper within the great love affair, the love affair grows inside of you. Extraordinary relationship of what it means to be a human being with the divine, with our beloved. Our very own beloved. I will cry to thee and cry to thee and cry to thee until the milk of thy kindness boils up. But I wanted today to expand this love affair, to take it out of this intimate inner context into a bigger context, because there is another secret, or it is the same secret told again, which is that all of creation is a love affair. I mentioned this hadith. There are two different versions. One is, the best known is, I was a hidden treasure and I longed to be known, so I created the world. This world is a revelation of the divine. The one became two in order so that it could know itself. And then the Sufis took that another step and said, I was a hidden treasure and I longed to be loved, so I created the world. And then you step into this deep esoteric mystery of creation, which is the love affair that is creation. Once you begin to realize that, then you see behind the veils of life. Just as you find the beloved behind the veils in your own heart, and you begin to explore this love affair that is the human being's relationship with the divine, to take that into life. And to begin to see this secret in life. Begin to live this secret in life. Extraordinary mystery that is this divine creation then reveals itself. One thing is very, very important to realize, and we haven't quite as a culture made that step, is to realize how our attitude, our conscious attitude, determines our experience. How our consciousness is a filter through which the world comes. With one attitude of consciousness, we will experience one world. And if we change our attitude of consciousness, we will experience a very different world. The world is not this static, defined thing that we were brought up to believe. It It is much, much more dynamic. Our awareness, our perception, determines our experience, determines the reality we experience. For example, there is a beautiful mystical perception of oneness. Wheresoever you turn, there is the face of God. Wherever you look, there is the face of God. Everything is God. Everything in creation is God relating to you, or you are relating to it. It's an extraordinary dialogue with life. Life becomes is very, very different then. You are part of this expression of the divine, of this expression of what is one. On one level, it's the same world, but it's not the same world. As I try to explain, this world is very, very dynamic, and it interacts with our consciousness in a way that our culture has no perception of. We are brought up to believe that it is the same world for everybody, and it is not. I had a devastating experience of that when I was 22, and for the first time, I was shown how most people experience life, and it terrified me. I saw through their eyes. It was just for like five seconds or a minute. And I say, it's the only time in my life I've ever reached for a glass of whiskey. I saw this gray, colorless world that most people inhabit. And I couldn't believe it. I thought everybody saw light sparkling in the air. I didn't realize they didn't. Years later, I began to realize how our consciousness determines the world we experience. For example, I can look at you now and I don't see people, I see bits of light glowing in your heart. I see souls here listening to something, not actually to what I am saying. I hear you all listening to something else because there is something else in the air. There is something else that is present. And I see all these souls, these kind of beings, sitting there, listening, trying to attune themselves to something else. Not me, something else that is here. As I said, on Friday, suddenly there was a space that was quite different to the physical space. And we were present in that space. And it was a place of prayer. That's why I loved it when Piazzia was talking about prayer. And when he was talking about prayer, particularly at the last stage of prayer, this communion, and I was looking out of the window, and this incredibly beautiful tree with the light shining on the tree, I thought, that is prayer. That is life's communion with God. It was so alive, it was so beautiful. Like coming from California, we don't have full colors. I looked, I thought, oh, that is prayer. That is life's prayer. Life is a prayer. And we are part of the prayer of life, and we can participate in the prayer of life if we want. If we turn a switch in our awareness, if we say, I am here for your sake, if we allow this love affair that we cherish within our own heart, because that's what draws us to the path. You would not be drawn to the path of Sufism if you did not want or were attracted to this love affair. You just have to kind of flick a switch, and then this love affair within the heart becomes this love affair of life. Because why should it just belong to you? You kind of some selfish mystic. I've got it. It's only in me. But who is me? There is no me. That is an aberration. That is a sometimes think it's a failed experiment, but probably there is some purpose in it yet to be realized. Anyway, this secret that we have is also a secret that belongs to life, because life is this relationship of lover and beloved. My sheikh, he said, there are only two in the whole of creation, the lover and beloved. That's all that exists. There isn't anything else. Everything is a love affair. It might not seem a love affair when you're involved in office politics. No. It might not seem a love affair when you get stopped for speeding and if you're in California, you have to go to traffic school. No. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, traffic school. Once is enough, but it's an experience everybody should have. So let's try and step out of ourselves, out of this my spirituality. I can tell you when you get to the, not to the end, because there's no end of the journey, but when you get to a certain stage, you realize it, there can never be my spirituality. The very idea of my spiritual path, my journey, is completely ludicrous. By the time you get to a certain stage, the my has gone. So there is a river flowing that takes something somewhere, yes. It certainly doesn't take the I. There is, if you like, to put it in a beautiful metaphor, there is a river of light in which your spark of light is taken somewhere. Yes, that is true. It's a very, very beautiful river of light. It reflects many, many colors. So you realize that you know that somewhere, or you read it in the books, you know. So if you want, in order to realize this bigger dimension, this love affair, you can all wait 20 years and hope by then you'll have, the I will have merged into something else. Or you can say, well, let's just have an experiment now. I don't want to wait 20 years. Let's see what happens if we take the sides off the box. And then you begin to discover that this love affair within you isn't just within you. It is part of an enormous love affair that is life. And then everything in life is in essence this relationship of lover and beloved. And you begin to treat life differently. I don't say a love affair is easy. I think anybody who has been deeply in love, either with a human being or with God, personally I always think it is much easier to be in love with God because God does not have psychological problems. But if we can step out of this box, I mean, it's a very nice safe box. As I said, I used to love when the children were in bed, just going inside and just saying, oh, beloved, now I have time for you. But then you get a beautiful day like today, or yesterday was, walking down the road. And you can see that it is a love affair. It's not always so visible. But when you see the trees like this, when you see the turning of the color, when you... I was going for an early morning walk this morning before the meditation, and I have this practice I've developed, which is kind of interesting, because I was walking along and I was thinking about what to try and talk about today. Some ideas go through your head. You know how you're walking along and you're just kind of in your thoughts and thinking. They could be inspiring thoughts, they can be mundane thoughts, you're still in your thoughts. And then I thought, hey, okay. And I just stopped all my thoughts. Said, okay, let's just be here. And suddenly I was in this different world. It was amazing that it was like flicking a switch, and suddenly there was, first of all, there were so many more sounds of the wind in the trees and the clouds, and suddenly there was a shaft of light coming through the clouds, and suddenly there was this beautiful pink when the sun comes over the horizon for the first time. I loved that moment. I always have. Of course, at that moment, you could see it's a love affair. You could see it was somebody calling, somebody responding. And I was present in it. And then the thoughts came back. I thought, oh, I am present in love affair and everything. And then it was gone. And then I was back in my mind, and I stopped it again. And then suddenly there was the stream going beside, because it's been raining so much, there is this stream going beside the road up there. It isn't there in the summer. And I thought, that is life, just going. Suddenly it goes. It'll be gone in a little while. And it was also a love affair with itself, with the water and the grass. It was just another love affair, expressing itself. And I was able to be part of it. There wasn't a price of admission either. And there were certainly no psychological problems there. So simple. There is this secret in life that Sufis have access to, because we are the people of the secret. And the beautiful thing about being a Sufi is you don't have to tell anybody about it. I mean, traditionally, if you were a Sufi and you told anybody about it, you got into serious trouble. You know, Al-Hallaj is the great example. You know, he was known as the lover because he told the secret of love. The danger of the love affair is you really also have to experience life, you know. You know, if you are in love, all your senses get heightened. You experience things. All your defenses don't work the same way anymore. Love is very, very, very dangerous, which is why the Persian poet says, keep away from the lane of love. We spend so much energy protecting ourselves from other people and then protecting ourselves from life. If you are in a love affair with life, then you can't be protected. You have to experience what life has to offer. Sometimes it's beautiful and sometimes it's terrible. Because the beloved is so beautiful, so kind, so gentle, so full of so much grace. He helps us again and again and again. Mr. Tweedy used to say, like, he forgives us and forgives us and forgives us. Otherwise, our tongues would fall out of our mouths, so many lies we have told. We are forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. So much grace comes. It pours in from every side. We are usually too busy to notice, and we don't give much access to the grace because we all close in upon ourselves. And we don't really want to live. The last thing most people want to do is to live. Oh, no, no, no. You can't live because anything can happen if you are. Because if you live, you are not in your world anymore. You are in the world of creation. You are in the world of the beloved. And you have no idea what is going to happen. Inwardly, outwardly, you don't know. It is not your world anymore. People try to define their world. It is like when people say there's this kind of New Age thing. Live your dream. I mean, God, I don't want to live my dreams, thank you very much. They're horrible most of the time. I want to live the beloved's dream. I want to live his extraordinary, vast, intoxicating, difficult, demanding, crazy dream that takes you anywhere. And just when you think you've got somewhere, you're told, no, it's all about that. That is why most people don't want to live. Oh, no. No. You know, you've seen those doors in New York apartments, they have like four locks. I mean, people, they outnumber that. They have locks and barriers and steel bars, and they don't, nothing is allowed to get in. You've got to have the right code to even. And if you want to live, you've got to undo the barriers. That's why for the first few years of the path are really a process of deconstruction. Of taking down those doors. Of just saying, yes, yes, yes. Do with me what thou wilt. Let me live your life, not my life. It's very simple to say, but like any love affair, it is not easy to live. Because you don't know who you are dealing with, please. No one knows God but God. He is the biggest trickster that ever is. Just when you think you're doing something right, you realize you're doing it wrong. Just when you think you've arrived, you discover you started. Just when you think you've got somewhere, you realize it was all a waste of time. Jung says somewhere, he says, the way to wholeness is full of full starts and detours. Power of love, the relationship of love. I mean, that's why we are here. Whatever our background, whatever religion, whatever culture, whatever community we come from, what draws us here is love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be Sufis. We wouldn't be attracted to this whole mystery of love. Sufis are known as the doorkeepers of love. They actually hold open the gates of love. We are the doorkeepers of love, and traditionally we are also the people of the secret. This has to do with the secret relationship of lover and beloved that is at the core of the Sufi path. He loves them and they love him. And life is like that. That's why it's like a love affair.